Take your Bibles, turn to Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to continue our study in the book of Hebrews. Just a few weeks left. Hebrews chapter 12, we're going to read verses starting in verse 14. I'm going to need your attention tonight. Hebrews chapter 12, we're going to start reading in verse number 14. Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to start reading in verse number 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness, notice that statement, any root of bitterness, springing up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know that how afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. For ye are yet not come unto the mount that might be touched, that it burned with fire, nor into the blackness and darkness and tempest. And the sound of the trumpet and the voice of the words, which voice they had entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more, for they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But you are come unto the Mount Sion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. Now, tonight, I want to talk to you about a topic that I'm sure affects nearly every person, and I'm sure every family in this church. So please listen. Cancer is a horrible thing. I'm going to use a term, it's not medical, but you'll understand it better if I use this term. It's a parasitic type illness or growth that eats the life away out of whatever it touches. Cancer is not something that is just something you catch from the air. It's something that actually grows and it attaches and it gets worse and worse generally. We have some that are not as bad as others, but any cancer is bad cancer. It's aggressive and can spread to other areas quickly. It can be painful, it's cruel, and often it's deadly. And there's something in the spiritual life that is akin to cancer. I want you to listen tonight. It's just as deadly. It's just as painful. It's just as quick to spread, and it causes just as much harm. The growth is not just physical, though, like cancer. It's so bad that it affects the body, the soul, and the spirit. What is this thing that is worse than cancer? Something called bitterness. Bitterness. I want you to understand something. The word bitterness here in Hebrews chapter 12, I looked it up again today. I used my Greek New Testament. I used my lexicon. I went through the whole thing. It comes from the word pancreas. Have you ever heard of the organ in your body called the pancreas? It is that which produces the bitter bile that helps with digestion. The word bitterness and the word pancreas go together. Now, it's where this is where the bile, the bitter chemicals come that help break down the foods. It's very acidic. Many people in this room, and unfortunately many Christians in general, have potential to have bitterness in their life. I hate to tell you something. If you have it, it doesn't stay dormant. It keeps growing. You might pass it off for a while, but it's going to start growing again. You see, just like cancer that grows, bitterness keeps growing and poisoning more and more and brings more and more destruction. Look at verse 15 again. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness or pancreas springing up trouble you, and thereby may be, what's the next word? Defiled. It's actually the word dying, death, corrupted. You see, God tells us a lot about this. God tells us that we can prevent even the root of bitterness from springing up. Now listen to me very carefully. God never promised to keep you from problems. There is nowhere in Scripture that says that we're supposed to live a problem-free life because we're sinners. Proof that we're sinners, we live in problems. And even if you could live without problems that you created, you live around sinners who are going to create problems. Called neighbors. But you're going to have those things. You see, too many of us think, well, I got saved, so I should have the ability to live heaven on earth. Wrong answer. Jesus lived a sinless life, but he did not live a problem-free life. Amen. Think through that one for a second. The model that they use, they ended up killing him, letting a murderer go for him, and he wasn't guilty of anything. How'd that turn out? So, we have to understand, hang on. Welcome to pollen season, amen? Yeah. We have to keep bitterness, even the root of it, from springing up. We have to, bitterness is something you got to use Roundup on and kill it at the root. Amen. It's not just the top plant. You got to go underneath and kill the whole thing. You say, well, I've pulled on it a few times. You won't get it all. It'll come back. Who is it that cannot, or who is it that you cannot or you will not forgive? Who is it that you choose not to ever trust again or let them rebuild? What is it that cannot or will not, you won't let go of? Everybody here has that potential. What is it that causes you anger and stress and depression and despair every time you think about it? That's called bitterness. You see, I'm not the greatest example of this, but I can promise you one thing. There's not one shred of bitterness in that heart right there. My worst of enemies could walk through that door and I'd reach out and shake their hand. I promise you. I've had enemies visit this church. And you did not know it. I've had people who've tried to destroy me visit this church. You did not know it. I treated them kindly. I called them friend. You wouldn't know who they were. Everybody doing okay? Preacher, you did that just for a show? No, I really believe that. You see, when I put my head on the pillow at night for a few hours, I don't think about how can I get back at so-and-so. I don't sleep long enough to be able to think that way. I don't want to go to bed that way. I don't want to live in anger and depression. I don't want to live in despair and bitterness and nastiness and the bitter like bile taste of life. So, by the way, you may even be bitter with yourself. Got a bad past? Okay. None of us are perfect. No nail prints. None. I was talking to the developer and I said, you do realize where they're putting the stormwater management is solid rock out here? At the highest point? He said, yeah. I said, you do realize how deep that rock goes? He said, yeah. He said, it's going to be a lot of dynamite. I said, cool. He looked up at me. He said, that wasn't what I was expecting. I said, if you let me know when it is, I can get a crowd there to watch this. I said, I got a bunch of men. We'll turn that into an activity. We'll sit up on church property watching you blow things up. He said, that was not what I was expecting to come out of your mouth. I said, you don't know my church. I said, you'll fit in just fine. Now, wait a minute. He was expecting somebody to get angry that somebody's going to rattle the rafters a little bit. Hey, bring it on. Doesn't bother me. He was kind of, I was like, cool. What? Yeah, everybody likes dynamite. Can I hit the switch? I don't mind that a bit. Now, wait a minute. Too many people cause it to get bitter. Somebody was upset at the meeting last night because they moved out here to move out to the country where it's quiet. Their backyard is Route 9. I can hear Route 9 through the walls of the church building, and they moved out to where it was quiet. Hang on a second here, folks. I'm like, now, wait a minute. What is bitterness? How do we look or how do we live when we are bitter? And how do we get rid of it or prevent it? That's what I want to teach you tonight. Number one, how does bitterness show itself? We could call this the symptoms of bitterness. We're going to use our Bible. We're going to put the whole thing together here tonight. And I think it will help you. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 1. All the way back in the Old Testament, 1 Samuel chapter 1. And I want you to look at verse number 9 with me. There's a lady here in 1 Samuel. Her name is Hannah. And she is married, but she has been unable to have children. And she's a bit discouraged. And I want to pick up there, verse number 9. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in, what's the next word? Okay, so look at me. There's bitterness there, right? She was in bitterness of heart or soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. It doesn't mean he walked over with a pen and put a mark on it, but he was paying attention. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart only, her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been what? Drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, nay, my lord, I am a woman of a, what's the next two words? Sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Now, I want you to notice something here. There are four things here that God says about Hannah. By the way, I'll tell you the Paul Harvey version, the rest of the story. God did hear Hannah, and she had a man-child. His name was Samuel. By the way, God gave her children after Samuel as well. So there is a cure to bitterness. But God was not going to cure it till she got rid of the bitterness. What are some of the symptoms? Symptom number one, weeping. Verse number 10. She was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. We would use the word depression. She was constantly depressed, crying about everything. She was so consumed with it that she couldn't let go of it. It was on her mind night and day, and she refused to let go of it. When I was a boy, I didn't get paddled very often, no comments. But my dad was quite capable of doing the job. And when he did, it was thorough enough, it lasted quite a while. Amen? And he'd let you cry for a little while, and then he would say, if you don't quit crying, I'm going to give you something to cry about. I'm thinking, why do you think I'm crying? Now, wait a minute. That's what God's talking about here. Excessiveness. We live in such a sissy society. We need to toughen up, and we need to toughen everybody up because it's going to get tougher. This weeping, this depression, this cry about everything mentality. What a bunch of garbage. That's a sign of bitterness. Number two, verse number 13, Eli thought she was drunk. Did you know people that are bitter? A drunk person loses perception of reality. I've dealt with people that are so enraged by bitterness, they act drunk. I'm not talking about slurring their words and stuff, but they have that inability to see reality. You're talking to somebody that has dealt with more people than you've ever met. I've been counseling for over 35 years. It's not unusual for me to counsel, and hasn't been 15, 20, 30 people a week, every week. Sometimes when I was in Indiana, it would be 100 or more people a week. I'm not kidding. Now you take 5 years at 100 a week, there goes 25,000 right there. That's not an exaggeration. Can I tell you something? You have to understand something. You can get so consumed with bitterness that you actually become drunken with it. She was so consumed that she had not had a child that she was acting drunk. We have to accept some things in life as being part of life. Number three, look at verse 16. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my, what's the next word? Complacent. Complain about everything. Somebody that's bitter, nothing's ever right. It could be sunshine. Well, it's too sunshiny. We get rain. I hate rain. There are some people, it doesn't matter what it is, it's not good enough. A kid can bring straight A's home, but if they weren't straight 100s, well, then you didn't do your best. That's a bunch of garbage. Why don't we accept things and quit complaining about it? Everybody doing okay? Man, I'm having fun. Number four, look at verse 18. Look at the last line there. And her countenance was no more what? In other words, it causes a sad countenance. There are some people, they just walk around and you know they're sad. They want everybody to know they're sad. How are you today? I'm fine. Good night. Pick your shoulders up, pick your chin ups. Suck some air in your lungs. and lie about it. Fake it till you make it. People really, do you ever see those people, you don't want to ask them how they're doing because they're going to tell you? That's exactly what God's talking about here. You know, there are certain people I say, well, hello, how are you today? There's other people, good morning. And I don't say, how are you? You say, why? Because I don't want to hear it. I'll hear about every ache and pain and things I shouldn't even hear about. Because they're going to do nothing but complain. They're going to talk themselves into depression and sadness before they ever walk through the door. Because they're going to bring it back up because that's all they have on their mind. Bitterness is a constant thinking about the wrong things. If your toe hurts, quit thinking about it. If your finger hurts, quit thinking about it. You know the old story. Guy says, does it hurt when you push on your finger like that? He said, yeah. He said, well, then don't do that. Too many of you, that's all you do. Well, my finger won't quit hurting. And you just keep on squeezing it. You live your life that way. Don't live that way. Avoid it. Say, well, if I do, quit living in the if world. Live in the real world, not the if world. So, four of the symptoms, you have depression, you have intoxication by grief, always grieving. I know people that never get over or get through, you never get over, but you should be able to get through the death of someone. I know people that have been depressed for 30 years over the death of somebody. Can I tell you something? It's time to get through it. The world didn't stop because somebody died. God didn't die. Keep going. Death is part of life. Yes, we miss him. But that's your selfishness, not God's fault. Sorry. I've lost loved ones. I know. I've preached three of my four grandparents' funeral. I preached my mother's funeral. I've preached funerals for my wife's family. I've preached a lot of family members' funerals. I get it. But can I tell you something? The world didn't stop.
That's right.
It keeps on going. Matter of fact, in the book of Ecclesiastes, God says, how does the rich man die? As the fool. As the poor man. The wealthiest man in the world could die, and the world's going to keep on spinning. You think you're important? Uh-uh. Not so much. Turn to Job chapter 7. Right before the book of Psalms. For some of you new to the Bible, the book of Job. Sorry, just trying to help. Job chapter 7. And I want you to look at a verse here. Now, if anybody had a right to complain a little bit, maybe Job did. I don't even think Job really did. And if you missed Sunday morning sermon and didn't listen to it yet, go listen to it. You'll find out what God had to say about Job's attitude. But look at Job chapter 7, verse number 11. Therefore, I will not refrain my mouth. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. Now look at me for a second. There's three more things here. He says, I will not refrain my mouth. That means they won't shut up about it. If you get angry every time you talk about it, quit talking about it. Can I help you for a second? If you argue about the same thing every time, quit talking about it.
Amen.
It's real simple. Do you know how you quit lying? Tell the truth.
Amen.
Tell, well, preacher, that sounds too simple. There's no other way. And if there are people in this room, you've had one fight every week or every other week for the last 20 years about the very same thing. If it hadn't changed, it isn't going to change. Just shut up and go on. Quit talking about it. You'll talk yourself into getting angry again. Why is it that we, I used this term several years ago, don't poke the bear. Some of you know what buttons to push just to make them mad. Can I tell you something? It's not a fun way to live. So God says, learn to shut your mouth. Before I talk about things that make me real angry, I gotta get myself under control. I pulled Brother Anthony and Mrs. Barnes into my office today and I said, okay, I need you to keep me in check. And I read my first outline that I'm going to bring to the county. I said, keep me in check here. Because I know how snarky I want to be. I don't have to ask their opinion, but I'm doing so to keep me in check. Does that make sense to everybody? Say why? Because I plan on building more buildings and reaching more people. If I tick them off too bad, then they're going to make it harder for us to build another building. I get that. I'm smart enough and wise enough to know there's some things that need to be said to hold their feet to the fire, but not tick them off so bad that they're not going to let me build another building. They just need to know I'm onto it and that we're tired of it. That's all it is. But I got to keep my comments and my snarkiness to myself a little bit. Now, it's going to have a little snark, but I'm not going to be preaching. I got on one part and I said, this is what I want to say, but I'm not going there. And I'm going to avoid preaching a sermon there as long as I can. So be careful that you don't talk yourself into that. Learn to shut up a little. As it says in Job 40, put my hand over my mouth and hush my mouth. But don't say it. Then I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. The anguish. That means I got to tell everybody how hurt I am. Please listen to me. The more you tell people how bad you hurt, the worse you feel. If I feel lousy, you'll never know it. Because if I tell you how I feel, I'm going to start feeling worse. I can talk myself out of being sick. Some of you talk yourself into being sick. I know people that you can look at and say, you feel okay? Yeah, I feel fine. You sure? Well, I thought I did. Another person, kind of not feeling so good now. I've watched them go home from church because three people asked them how they were feeling. They talked themselves into being sick. They were fine when they got out of their car. I've watched it happen. Not me, man. My wife will tell you, I've sat in my truck or the car before. She said, you gonna make it? Uh-huh. Okay, let's go. And I made it. I remember one month, I preached all month long, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, with walking pneumonia. I wasn't in the office a whole lot, but I made it through all the public services. Can I tell you something? Sometimes we just talk about our hurt, our anguish too much. We want everybody to know how we feel. Do you know not everybody wants to know how you feel? I said that as nicely as I know how. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. I'm going to complain about how unfair it is, how unjust it is that I have this to carry. Another source of bitterness is somebody got something that you thought you should get. That's not fair. Oh, let's bring your Tonka truck out and let you play in the sand, baby. That's little childish. Turn to Proverbs chapter 14. Boy, am I glad I didn't write the Bible. And so are you. Proverbs chapter 14, look at verse number 10. Now, everybody look at me for just a second here. I'm going to be reading God's words. These aren't preacher's words. Watch this. The heart knoweth his own bitterness. Look at me. Everybody in here knows what's causing you to be bitter. You in your heart of hearts knows what you're bitter at. You know exactly when I started tonight, that topic that you thought of right away, that was it. That was it. We don't need to wonder what makes us bitter. You can't maybe fix the wrong, but you can fix yourself from being wrong. I can't fix the fact that someone wronged you, but just because one person wronged you doesn't mean every person will. Can I just take about 90 seconds and throw a fit here? I meet people almost every week of my life. Some preacher has hurt them and they say, I don't trust any preacher. And yet I'll ask them, do you go to the doctor? Yeah. Do you ever have a doctor make a mistake? Yeah, but that's, what's the difference? Do you ever have a mechanic make a mistake on your car? Huh. But doesn't keep you from going to the mechanic. Why is it then that only a preacher gets that treatment? A lady goes through a bad relationship and then she never wants to trust any man again. That's wrong. That's bitterness. So, well, I've been hurt by 4 or 5 people. Okay, but that's not the rest of the world. Goes true for men about women. I know some men, they treat women like trash because they're tired of being hurt. Well, grow up, not all women act that way. I got to hurry up here. Turn to Proverbs chapter 17. Look at verse number 25. Proverbs 17:25. A foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her that bare him. A foolish grown child can cause bitterness. Don't get bitter at your grown kids because they don't live the way you want. Quit being bitter over it. They answer to God for it, not you. Your responsibility as a parent ends when they walk out the door of your house to live on their own. Period. Some of you live in total bitterness and total fear of your own grown kids. Grow up. I love all 3 of my children and the 2 that are married, their spouses. But I don't live in fear if they're making mistakes. Matter of fact, I know they're making mistakes. They're my kids. Plain and simple. But can I tell you something? It's not my problem as a dad. But I love this week when my son-in-law called me and said, Dad, you got time for a question? Yep. Which needs it? He said, I got a dad question I need your help with. All right. So I helped him. Spent about 20 minutes on the phone with him. On we went. I love that. By the way, son-in-law. Isn't it amazing? We get bitter because, well, I don't like that man. He took my daughter from me. Well, God didn't make it for dad to marry his daughter. That's a little creepy, weird. That's perverted. Now, when they're itty-bitty and you joke about it, it's one thing, but as I used to joke with Mindy, some toe-headed idiot's going to take you away from me one day, and you don't love me like you say you do, and the toe-headed idiot did it. But I performed the ceremony standing right here and enjoyed every moment of it. Say why? Because I didn't rear her to stay, I reared her to go. Let him pay for the rest of her life. High maintenance, amen? No one can make you bitter but you. People hurting you does not make you bitter. You make you bitter. Your grown children will test you over and over and over. Don't let it cause bitterness. Thank you, brother. Turn to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Look at verse number 4. Romans chapter 3, verse number 4. God forbid, yea, let God be true and every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. And that's not the verse I wanted. Hang on here. Look at verse 14. I can't read my own writing. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Another sign of bitterness, foul mouth. That cursing isn't just cuss words. It's nastiness, anger. The word bitter can mean harsh, acidic. People that speak sharply all the time. There are some people, you don't know how bitter you are because you're just nasty to everybody. Everybody doing okay? We speak in harsh tones. So, well, I didn't mean it that way. Okay, did you hear how you said it? The tone of your voice is as important as what you say. Boy, that's good. We speak cruelly about everything. We live in such a bitter world. Look at how the nastiness and cruelty of this world is. I've got to hurry. I want to keep going. I won't. Those are the symptoms of bitterness. How do we fix or prevent bitterness in our life? Turn back to Hebrews chapter 12. I love this. Hebrews chapter 12. Look at verse number 14. Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Now, learn to live at peace with all people. I want you to notice something in Hebrews 12:14. It does not say live at peace with all saved people.
That's right.
It said live at peace with all men. That includes women too, by the way. That's a little harder. No. That means this. We're supposed to have peaceful relationships with as many people as we can, even in the world. Now, there are some people, they can't even get along with themselves. I get it. God said, though, live at peace with all. Try to be, blessed are the peacemakers. If you heard what I said tonight, there are people that I have to be kind to that I disagree with. I'd like to get snarky with, but I'm going to try to live in peace.
Amen.
I'll state fact, but I don't have to throw my attitude with it. Everybody doing okay? So I keep me in check so I don't get too snarky. If I'm out in public and my wife's with me, I know when she grabs my hand and goes, that means stop. I'm getting ready to cross the line I shouldn't cross. And I'll back up and say, okay, I'm done. I shut it down. So you'd walk away? Yes, better than losing my testimony.
Amen.
Say, preacher, you don't get that way, do you? Oh, no, never. By the way, God didn't say live at peace with just those you want to get along with. We all have people that we don't want to get along with. We all have family, amen? That person you just thought of? Yeah, we all have that one. Different name, different face, but same personality. Notice that God says, follow peace with all men. Watch this, with holiness. What is holiness? Holiness is not walking around with your hands folded saying, holy, 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 holy. No. Holiness means you act like God would if God were in your situation. That's not reacting the way you want to react. It's doing it the way God says do it. God is holy. So when we start acting the way he would act, that is a holy way of caring for the situation. Does that make sense to everybody? It doesn't mean you're perfect. It doesn't mean you're God. I remember we were going through a battle one day in Indiana, and the press was at church, and Chicago Tribune and the TV news channels were there, and they were going to splash our names all over Chicago areas, being a bunch of perverts and all kinds of other things. It's amazing. And I remember Brother Hiles calling the male staff in the office, and he said, fellas, I do not want you to defend me on this. He said, you're going to respond the way I respond or I will fire you. When people around the country call you and say, why aren't you defending Brother Hiles? You tell them because Brother Hiles said not to. He said, I'm not kidding. You're going to react the way I react, not the way you want to react. This is how we're going to get through this battle. And within 24, 36 hours, I had preachers around the country calling me saying, how come you're not defending Brother Hiles? I said, because I work for him and he told me this is the way I'm supposed to act. They said, well, you're not very loyal. I said, well, I still have my job and I don't have yours and I'm happy. I remember one got a little indignant with me. Matter of fact, about a week later, Brother Hiles came in. We're in the choir ready room, getting ready to walk out for Wednesday night church. He came over and said, Brother Craig, come here. I thought, uh-oh. I must not have reacted right. I'm about to get fired. Put his arm around me. He said, did Brother so-and-so call you recently? I said, yes, sir. He said, what'd you tell him? I said, I told him to shut his mouth because he didn't know what he was talking about. I was doing what you told me to do, and if he didn't like it, tough. He said, that's pretty much what he told me. I thought, here it comes. He said, you did a good job. You did it exactly the way you should have. He said, I set him straight. I said, okay. Whew. Can I go to the bathroom now? I mean, it was bad. Wait a minute. I was scared to death. Now wait, there's times you can't react the way you want to or to act the way God wants us to. That's holiness. God says in verse 14, without which no man shall see the Lord. Verse 15, looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness. We've got to learn to walk with God to be able to know how to respond like God. Unless you're walking with him, how do you know how to respond like him? The goal is to be close enough to God when the problems come that you say, how do you want to handle God? He'll show you in his word and you just do what it says. But you got to be close enough to him to hear it. And lastly, go to Ephesians chapter 4. I'm just going to be able to mention the last point tonight. I'm sorry. Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. God says, put off bitterness, put on kindness. When somebody's being unkind, put on kindness. Put off that, I'm going to get in your grill and tell you what I really think, and put on kindness. There's so much I want to say right here. I can't. I'm going to give you just a few scripture references in this last point. God illustrates how bitterness eats it like a cancer. We read in verses, God talks about Saul here. Esau. And he talks about Esau selling the birthright. That's found in Genesis chapter 27, verses 30 through 35. Esau got angry because Jacob tricked him out of the birthright. Actually, he sold the birthright. It didn't mean enough to him. His belly was more important than his birthright. Then he got bitter with his brother and ran, and his brother had to run away for about 20 years. Messed up family. The Hebrews at Mount Sinai talks about Moses, and it talks about them not touching the mount that burned with fire. That's found in Exodus 19, 16 through 25, Exodus 20, 18 through 21, and here in Hebrews 12, verses 18 through 23. That's in reference to when Moses went up on Mount Sinai, and they were told not to touch the mountain, because if they did, God would kill them. And when they heard the thunder, and they heard the lightnings, and they heard God's voice, they said, "Moses, you go talk to him. He makes us afraid. We don't want to hear his voice." God talks about that causing bitterness. Read through those passages. By the way, Luke 22, verses 61 and 62, Peter had disobeyed about the crucifixion and went out and wept bitterly. He knew what was going to happen and did wrong in spite of it. And the doing of wrong creates bitterness. I've got to quit. God says he doesn't even want the smallest root of bitterness springing up. At the first tinge of bitterness, get it out. Pull the root out. Don't let it grow. It's like a cancer. You got to get rid of it immediately, or it will begin to corrupt and destroy you. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. I wonder, when I mentioned the word bitter, what was that first thought that came to your mind? You know what you're bitter at, if you are. I'm not saying every person in the room is, but every person in the room has potential to be. What is it that you are bitter at?